Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. I bless Him. I thank Him for moving in our lives. I thank Him for the double portion of anointing that He's putting on His people who serve Him. I thank God for all of them. I thank Him for the double portion of anointing He puts on me. I thank Him for the double portion of anointing He puts on you. My pastor, Pastor McCann, he's a prophet, and I love him. He talked about the double portion anointing at the order of God, how God would anoint His people who follow Him, who obey Him with a double portion. And I want us all to take it and use it. God is mightily moving by His Spirit, and we need to follow Him. We need to obey Him. The key is faithfulness. See, the anointing is always activated by faithfulness. And when you're faithful, you put things in motion that should be in motion. Now, I want you to understand something. I've grown to know this about the Lord. Whatever He do something, when He reply to you, when He responds to you, He gives you something to go on. And you ask Him for something you need. You ask Him to bless you, and you know, you tell Him your concerns. And when He responds to bless you, everything is perfectly evaluated. The way He heals, the timing, everything is evaluated. And He chooses the most perfect plan of redemption for you. You know, the plan of redemption, of course, is Jesus, salvation through Jesus Christ, but I'm talking about your personal redemptions, healings, when you need knowledge that you don't have. You know, He does it in a way where you will not get in pride. You will be humble to Him and useful. Everything, He taught me a lot of amazing things far beyond my years. Nobody would have expected me to know some of the things the Lord taught me. But it's so simple. It's right there in the Word. And every time He taught me something, every time, it seems like I should have known that in the first place. It was so pure, easy to be entreated, peaceable. I said, that's smart. That's right. Why did I see that in the first place? And it solves big problems. But everything that God gives you to do, I found that when you trust Him, you enter into a greater realm. If you have faith in Him, you're strong in the realm you're in. But if you trust Him, you know, He can cause you to go where you normally wouldn't go. You know, Peter. Now, Peter let Jesus use his boat to preach off of. You know, he's on the lowest part, he's on the water. Everybody else is elevated away. So his voice would carry better if he preached on the boat. So he preached on the boat. And Jesus wanted to bless him. So he said, cast out your nets for a great haul, a drought, a fish, a big haul of fish. Nets. Peter said, we've been working all day and night. We caught nothing. But at your word, I cast out a net. And it began to break. And they got the haul in. And that paid a lot of things for Peter. You know, that put him over. Peter said, get away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. Now, was Peter disappointed in the end? No. Because when the Lord, Peter, he didn't see a good reason to cast out the nets after what he went through. Most people wouldn't. Some people wouldn't have cast out the nets. They would have stayed in that situation. But Peter, at your word, well, we did this all night, but at your word, I'll do this. It takes you into a greater realm, a greater glory. And too many people, too many faith people, too many wonderful men of God never enter into the next realm. Because though they are skilled at trusting God, they are not skilled at, though they are skilled at believing God and having faith in Him, that doesn't mean they're perfectly skilled in trusting God. That's another side of the coin, you know. One side of the coin is faith. The other side of the coin is trust. Both of them works together. Now, believing is dormant by itself. If you believe God, you receive His word and you believe, faith is forming in you. But it's not released. When you speak it, it's released. When you trust God, you take Him at His word. Trust doesn't do anything. It's reliance. You're relying on Him, not you. When you trust God perfectly, the reins of your heart are in the hands of Jesus. When you trust God perfectly, the reins of your heart are in the hands of Jesus, not yours. When you trust the Lord perfectly, the reins of your heart are in the hands of Jesus and not yours. Now, you're still intelligent. It has nothing to do with your wonderful brain and your wonderful mind and the skill sets of faith you have. Nothing to do with that. That's something else. But now you're trusting Him with you. And He's going to take something. He's going to take what you give Him and use it. And He's going to help you go where you normally wouldn't go. You're going to catch the fish you would normally miss out on. So, not only will trust take you to where the hot spot is, so to speak, if you keep trusting God, you'll be prepared to go to the hot spot. Everybody can't go to the hot spot. They have to trust God. Now, the moment we begin to trust God, we want to see something to encourage our trust. But Pastor said something yesterday that is just over the top to me. He said the double portion is going to go to those who want more of Jesus. Not to those who look for a sign. So, childlike faith, trust the Lord. And the best relaxation you could ever have is in trusting the Lord. So, as you trust the Lord, your God and King, He's going to do something. But if when you start looking for something and expecting something to happen that's just over the top amazing, your focus is turning. You need to focus on the Lord and what He said. And why it will come about. Everything's going to be, you know, the Lord evaluates everything perfectly. There's nothing out of place in His mind. He thought of everything. You just watch Him. You're going to be fine. You're still intelligent. Nothing wrong with your mind. Nothing wrong with your brain. But He's taking you somewhere even greater. And you can't take yourself. So when this happens for you, you're being promoted. And so many people walk away from promotion because they don't trust Him. Even though they have clues. Even though they have clues. The rich young ruler came to Jesus bowing down. Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, you know the story. But at the end of it, He said, one thing you lack. Go sell everything you own. Give to the poor. Come and follow me. Oh, man. Now, that was not what He wanted to do. He didn't walk away. He didn't leave His home that day expecting to have a traveling ministry. But if He had a little bit more childlike faith than He already had, He would have said, Lord, I don't want to do that, but at your word, I will do this. If He made that Rebecca choice in that moment of visitation, we would be reading His writings. He would have brought a new standard among the rich and wealthy Hebrews and the rich and wealthy Romans, and the rich and wealthy Greeks and everywhere, he would have been known for being a man of God. And the wealth of the spiritual wealth would have come upon his life everywhere he needed it. And what would have happened to him would have been, he would have been a blessing not only to his generation, but became a man of God like the apostles, and he may have written another book. He may have, there would have been stories about him more so. And every generation would have benefited from what he did if he followed Jesus in obedience. But when he taught us something else, though, when he walked away sorrowful, it still showed us that when you walk away from trusting God, a sorrow comes with it. But when you walk into the next realm, great joy comes with it as you receive it. But it's there from the moment you begin to say, yes, Lord. Then a peace comes on you. Peace is always the first gift when you're in obedience. And then joy rises up as you're faithful. Well, that couldn't happen for him. He walked away from, he had great riches and possessions to enjoy. But he didn't have a multiplication. And he walked away from a stronger destiny. And never knew it. There's nobody that can show you what will happen if you follow God, unless the Holy Spirit gives a vision. So trust takes us into a greater realm, a realm of greater blessings. And the Lord can deal with us in greater ways. But when people stick with what they know, even men of faith, if they don't go to the next glory, they'll never know what happened of themselves. They'll never figure it out. So, believing God is very important. Abraham believed God. He obeyed. He left Haran. He left his kindred, his nation, and his father's house to go to a place where God was showing. And he went to Canaan land. He went through it all the way down to Egypt. So he had a reference of how big it was. He walked straight through it. And not only that, the Lord gave him the dimensions of it. He showed him the New Jerusalem way back then. He showed him how many descendants he'd have because he couldn't count the stars. He walked into his destiny. He believed God, and God counted him for righteousness. Same way, when we believe on Jesus, we are counted righteous. When we walk in his love, we fulfill the law. When we believe on Jesus, we fulfill the ceremonial law. So all the things that point to Christ are fulfilled in Christ. And all the laws, the Ten Commandments, and all the statutes are fulfilled in the love of God. So when you have that kind of sincerity and childlike faith, you're already in good standings. Now, when you trust God, you're going to go to greater glories. That's how it is. Now, trust is another side. Believing is one side of the coin. Trust is the other side. Believing God is taking God at face value. Trusting God is believing God based on the past, on the relationship, past relationship. I'm going to do this at your word. I don't understand it at all. But because you said it, I'll do it. But when you believe him, whenever you take him at face value, that's believing God. You're believing him without the past. When you trust God, you believe in him because of the past. And that's why it helps you go into the next glory. Now, it's possible to, when God tells you something, you just automatically believe it, whether you have a past or not. That happens too, because it happened with Father Abraham. But nevertheless, believing and trusting is very important, because the moment you act on it, it becomes faith. whether it's believing or trusting. Now, I'm going to go into something else now. So when we go into the next glory, we'll be equipped. Now, the Lord put on my heart today, Jude chapter 1, which is only one chapter. And the Lord wants to, he's mightily moving by his spirit, and he loves us all. He cares about us all. He wants us to know him. And he's doing something. Ever since it said in Genesis chapter 1 that the Spirit of God moved on the waters, he never stopped moving. And he is evaluating. He's preparing his people to come into the kingdom of God. And those that reject him, he has a protocol for them. So the Lord don't stop people from choosing evil. But he has a protocol when they do. And then he has a plan of redemption for those that want out of evil. Then, to help everybody out, he gave us his light. And last week we spent time talking about light. And there are different people. There are different types of people all over the world. And people, they are just like birds of a feather flock together. We see that in the air. We also see it on the ground. Tribes of different types of animals flock together too. The proverb was made, birds of a feather flock together. So it is with man. So when people love something, they still want solace. They don't have it in Jesus if they're not connected to him, if they didn't believe on him. So they find solace in people that agree. You know, when Herod and Pilate didn't like each other, but after they both didn't know what to do with Jesus, they became friends. Now, birds of a feather flock together. So we have to understand this. Now listen to Jude. Jude says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. That's the will of God. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were of old ordained to this condemnation. Now that's curious, isn't it? They were before of old. And then it says, ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men turning the grace of our Lord into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now this, very curious. Certain men crept in unawares who were of old and ordained to this condemnation. When I look at that with what I understand, ungodly men, they don't embrace the love of God. But the fallen ones, fallen angels and demonic spirits, you know, they are old ancient enemies. See, when there were giants in the earth, when they died, their spirits lingered. That's where demons come from. Other people have taught it too. So Genesis 6 talk about this. They have no covenant with God. They can't go to heaven. They're in Satan's army. So, you know, Jesus cast out a legion of demons into the 2,000 pigs, and they went into the water. Herd of swine, you know, I forgot how many. But anyway, demons are about. They're of old. So people that are in league with them, that's the kind of spirit they have. And they turn the grace of our God into lasciviousness. And the Lord told me that many people are preachers, modern day ministers are. they're paid not to preach the word. They give it a, they don't tell people their part, you know. There's a God with side and a man with side. My pastor always talk about that. Well, when you don't teach people how to do their part, their side of things, then God can't do his part. So you got a church that's nullified because they don't preach the gospel according to Jesus. They preach it in a way that they're paid to preach it. Now, who is paying them? Now, that's a good question. People of like mind are paying them. People that wants, that don't want the church to be strong are paying them. People, sometimes people that don't really want to do the will of God, they go to these churches and they put money in these churches and they're actually paying for what they want. But when the preacher preached the real word of God, then they leave because they really don't want God in their thinking. They want God in accord. See, it goes back to the fish and the loaves. Jesus knew this was always a problem. The fish and the loaves. Jesus said, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have nothing to do with me. And they didn't see the spiritual connection, so they departed. All of them, except for those who were sincere. They were the only one, and nobody understood the depths of what he said. But the sincere people stayed. Now, that's the wisdom of God. That's what I'm talking about. Out of all the ways Jesus could have handled that problem, because they were trying to make a king out of him, according to their terms, they were going to make him be their king and put him on their terms. And Jesus knew this. So he had to and he dealt with it by the Holy Spirit. Out of all the ways the Lord could have handled it, he said, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have nothing to do with me. And they left. It worked. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is, if you think that crowd was bad, if you think that crowd was bad, and the crowd that wanted Barabbas instead of Jesus, and the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders that wanted Jesus dead, if you think they were bad, this generation has multiplied worse. And people, they really don't want to follow God. They're going to find somebody to tell them what they want to hear. And it goes back to those having itching ears. That's not what I want to hear. I want something else. I want God to be another way. I don't want him to be my master. I don't want him to be my king. I don't mind him being my savior. But I still want to do this over here. And I want to do that over there. And I want a preacher that'll condone it, that understands. So they go out and find one, and they pay them. But there's a living church. See, when people compromise, guess what God will do? He'll warn them because he loves them. He'll even do miracles in their ministry to woo them back. But he still has to have a protocol. He can't ignore, because he's God, he cannot ignore their sin and their trespass. He has a protocol against it. So, here we go again, verse 4. There are certain men crept in unawares that you can't tell. That's the problem. Who were of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only God, in our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, somebody will say, well, which TV preachers are this way? Or which preachers do you know of this way? I don't know. Now, the problem with speculating, I have to judge a person's heart. But their message and the fruit that they bear, that's what we have to deal with. That's what we don't, Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruit. I don't know their intent. I don't know how they see things. But their fruit is off. Now, when people's fruit is off, don't ignore it. Take it to the Lord in prayer. If they're salvageable, God will show you how to pray for them. If they're dangerous, God will show you how to leave them alone. Because he's not trying to stop them. That understand that he's not trying to stop a man that's doing what he will do. You can't show me one scripture in the Bible where God tried to stop a person. He warned him. He appeared to Solomon twice, like a loving father would, because he loved him, and because of the covenant he had with David, and because of the spiritual wealth on his life. But God is not, he didn't stop Solomon when he went wild, listening to his witchy wives, especially the daughter of Pharaoh. And they actually said the daughter of the king of Egypt. So she was a daughter of Satan. They turned his heart. You don't let people turn your heart. People sin because of something that they want in the world. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old. They're demonic, because they can't be of old unless they are demonic. I can't see it another way if I'm wrong. There were certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, that's the problem, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he said this, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. There are always people who believe not. They go with the crowd, but they really don't have that devotion in them. And you can't serve God with a satanic mind. When people start being compromised, they made a choice to be compromised. They went against the light. They went against the love of God, the logic of the word, the knowledge of the word, the wisdom of the word, the counsel of the word. And they became vain in their thoughts. And they couldn't tell they were wrong because they were after something that was wrong in the first place. And the demons made it look good. I told my children, everything looks good from a certain point of view. You know, everything looks good from a certain point of view. But you go by the word of God. No matter how it looks, you go by the word of God and you'll be safe. There's no evil in the love of God. But there's evil you can't see in the world. Okay? So this has been a problem from the day in our generations, in the day that Adam ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Evil is here. You always have to rise above it. You always have to supersede evil with the love of God. You can't fight Satan if you think like him. You can't fight Satan if you agree with him. You can't win against him if you like what he's doing. If you compromise, that's a leaven that you receive. That's like a little cancer. You'll do fine for a while, but after a while, it becomes stage 3, then stage 4, then stage 5. Next thing you know, you don't exist anymore on earth. So a little leaven leavens everything. It's cancerous. It's infectious. Now, the love of God is not infectious. It just shows you, it puts you in a position to see the truth. Then you can do something about it. Well, Jesus restores your soul. He restores you, and he gives you his light. And now you'll see what, as long as you stay in the living love of God, you'll always see things for what they truly are. And you won't be so quick to be blindsided and fall into compromising traps of witchy people. Some people say, stay prayed up. Yes, stay prayed up. Stay in the love of God. Stay in the love of God. Live in his presence. Stick to his word. Stay in the love. Stay prayed up. Yes, good choice. Overcome evil with good. Don't retaliate. Don't get sucked into their traps, hating them. You do it. Fight God's way. Stick with the love of God. Verse 5 says, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Every generation has seen this problem arise and fall, and how God dealt with it. Verse 6, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. He has reserved and he hath reserved an everlasting chains under darkness until the judgment of the great day. See, our war started way before Adam with the angels that kept not their first estate. They fell first. See, we're like them. They're not like us. They fell first. They caused the darkness. They caused the earth to be void and desolate. The Hebrew word tohu and bohu, I never looked it up, but people say that. But that, it's still the same thing. Void and desolate happened because the curse causes will not come. The earth don't, nothing God made looks ugly. It's, you know, he makes bugs that look ugly to us, but they have a purpose. But nothing of God is void and desolate. It has life in it and purpose. You know, and it has its own purpose. So, if the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, that's amazing of itself. Why would a holy angel leave its first estate? Think about these. Don't just read over it. Think, consider it. They compromised. They went south. They wanted something God didn't give. And they had everything. And they had access to more. So they didn't have a reason to do this. Then it says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. These are things. These things don't happen in one day, but they happen too often. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of dignity. The leaven grows; you get worse and worse. But those that do love the Lord, they'll be strong and do exploits. The curse causes will not come, but they that trust the Lord, they will, and they that love God will always be lovingly appropriate. Now, I'm